I've read a lot about war, and not just this war. I've read memoirs and histories and novels from the days of Europe in the 30s and 40s, the war of my parents' generation, and from Vietnam in the 60s and 70s, when I was deciding not to go to war, whether I was drafted or not. That's another story. I've read Shirer and Atkinson, Mailer and Vonnegut on World War II. I've read Michael Herr's dispatches and We Were Soldiers Once and Young about Vietnam, as well as novels by Tim O'Brien and Cara Marlantis. Nonfiction and fiction interweave most of the time to help you get the big picture. The thing is, in more recent days, well, the more recent the war, the fewer the stories. Journalism, yes. History, fiction, not so much. Until you come to somebody like Kevin Powers. These days, Kevin Powers is making a name for himself as a novelist. His first book is The Yellow Birds, which was nominated last year for a National Book Award. But he was deployed as a U.S. Army machine gunner in Iraq in 2004 and 2005. And I think you can say he brought that experience home with him, as so many soldiers seem to have done. To some extent, he's used his experience in this novel. You can hear it in the reality in the characters. Murphy, the idealist, Sterling, the warrior, and I thought in the narrator, Bartle.
People often ask how much of the book comes from my experience, and the events of the book are invented, but, you know, I wanted to honestly look at the questions that I had about my own experience, and I think at various times I saw part of myself in all three of the characters.
One of the things I did like about the novel is this back and forth in time. You put as headings on each of the chapter the date at which the events are going to occur. But what it suggested to me was that Bartle has some trouble ordering his memories.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that, I mean, for me, trying to figure out what is Bartle's real struggle. Of course, there's the repercussions of the choices that he makes. But in a way, I mean, his biggest challenge is trying to figure out a way that the story of his own life and the story of experience can be made to make sense to him, that he can kind of integrate it into some sort of worldview that will allow him to continue living.
The problem is always that you try to make sense of the world, and in some ways the world you describe in this war can't be made sense of. It's like Bartle's promise to Murphy's mother that he'll bring him back. That promise kind of runs through the whole thing and keeps busting up his attempts to make sense of it all.
That's right, right. And you know, one of the things that I thought about as kind of a larger thematic element of the book is, you know, what does it mean for a person or for a country to desperately want to be good, perhaps naively want to be good, but then to fail and to not be able to do good when that's what they want to do? How do you live with that once you kind of recognize the real consequences of your actions, what your naivete has gotten you involved in? I mean, how do you come out of that? And that choice to make that promise is just one of the things that Bartle ends up being responsible for. And he's trying to be responsible for that promise and to be accountable for what he sees as his failure to do what he thinks is the one good thing he would have been able to do amidst all the kind of madness.
And take care of Daniel Murphy.
Right.
You went to war and you came back. You've obviously thought a lot about it. Does it help you to tell this story?
I mean, I think it does. It was important to me to try. I was asked very frequently after I got back what it was like over there. I didn't want to just give a kind of a pat answer. I wanted to be honest, and I wanted to figure out a way to try to answer that question for myself. And not just to describe the information that's available to everybody on TV and YouTube and what have you, but to really think about what it felt like. What did it do to me as a person? How does it affect me as a person now? And to really look at that as closely and as honestly as I could.
I'm curious because I've talked to other people about their wars, different wars, to Tim O'Brien about The Things They Carried, which is a magnificent book, I think. And
absolutely.
And Carl Marlantis, What It Means to Go to War. They have different views of that war. Your book is being compared to those in some ways. Do you think that these wars can be compared?
You know, it's really hard for me to say. I mean, I think there probably are some parallels, at least insofar as, you know, this idea that the reason that you're being told why you're doing this as a soldier don't necessarily reflect the reality of what you see on the ground. And I'm sure that's something that was probably true for soldiers in Vietnam, you know, and that was essentially my experience. Of course, they said, oh, well, we're going to get rid of weapons of mass destruction. And then you, of course, it's readily apparent that that's not, there must be some other explanation because that is not the reality that you see on the ground. That's not what you're really doing. So that kind of discrepancy between what you're being told and what you're seeing is probably true of both of those wars.
I wonder, as I read your book, whether it matters in a way of what the purpose of a war is, because what matters to each of these guys is what the war means today.
I think that's true, and for each of them, I mean, what the war means is surviving it, trying to figure out a way to survive it, and I don't just mean, of course, physically survive it, but also to keep some part of their humanity intact. How do you preserve that?
For you, as a writer and a survivor and a former soldier, do you think that telling the story, I mean, sometimes it seems so real, I almost wanted to sweep the sand off the page. Do you feel as though the war is more real for you, having written about it, than maybe it was at the time?
I knew I had some questions that I wanted to ask about my experience. And I knew that just for me, being a person who tries to, you know, has always tried to understand the world through writing and reading poetry, stories, you know, the world of the imagination, if you will, I did feel like writing about it gave me a kind of clarity on my experience that I don't know if I would have had otherwise. And even though this is absolutely a work of the imagination, I think the distance that the imagination provides gave me more clarity than I might have if I had just sort of written about my actual personal experience.
I read somewhere in an interview with you that you said you wanted to tell the truth. The difficult thing was trying to figure out what the truth is.
Absolutely. And, you know, I do feel like there's a responsibility not only to try to tell the truth, but to acknowledge that, you know, that I'm not making a claim on telling anybody's story, but these characters. And you know, we mentioned Tim O'Brien earlier. I think one of the really powerful quotes that he has is that the idea that there are as many wars as there are men who fight in them. So I think a diversity of voices, and we're starting to see other writers writing about Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think that's going to give us an opportunity to really get a kind of 360 view. Somewhere in there, the truth exists, and we're each just trying to get to it in our own way.
Kevin Powers served as a machine gunner in Iraq in 2004 and 2005. His novel, The Yellow Birds, was a finalist for the National Book Award. Here's how it begins. The war tried to kill us in the spring. As grass greened, the plains of Nineveh and the weather warmed. I see. Got it. Never mind. Just let me start again. The war tried to kill us in the spring. As grass greened the plains of Nineveh and the weather warmed, we patrolled the low-slung hills beyond the cities and towns. We moved over them and through the tall grass, on faith, kneading paths into the windswept growth like pioneers. While we slept, the war rubbed its thousand ribs against the ground in prayer. When we pressed onward through exhaustion, its eyes were white and open in the dark. While we ate, the war fasted, fed by its own deprivation. It made love and gave birth and spread through fire. Then in summer, the war tried to kill us as the heat blanched all color from the plains. The sun pressed into our skin, and the war sent its citizens rustling into the shade of white buildings. It cast a white shade on everything, like a veil over our eyes. It tried to kill us every day, but it had not succeeded. Not that our safety was preordained. We were not destined to survive. The fact is, we were not destined at all. The war would take what it could get. It was patient. It didn't care about objectives or boundaries, whether you were loved by many or not at all. While I slept that summer, the war came to me in my dreams and showed me its sole purpose, to go on, only to go on. And I knew the war would have its way.